In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, it might seem strange to us that the all-powerful Son of God would allow himself to be tempted by the devil, by a simple fact of his will. We know that Jesus could have sent the tempter to the far side of the universe or constrained him perpetually in hell, never to be bothered by him again. Instead, he peacefully accompanies him on this charade. Perhaps this is best explained by our Lord's perfect humility. As God, he was impervious, as we know, to any form of temptation. But he had taken the lowly nature of humanity in order to redeem us. He chose to face the tempter, burdened by the weakness of our human nature. As St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. Now, in this gospel account, we see that he was first tempted by the needs of the flesh. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. So a loaf of bread would have been pretty satisfying right about then. He was tempted, secondly, with the idea of showing off his powers so as to be acclaimed by the crowds. His fall would not merely be broken, but it would be broken by a corps of angelic bodyguards. And last of all, he was tempted by all the wealth and glory of the world, more than any king or prince, more than any conqueror had ever possessed. Yet in spite of the weakness inherent in human nature, our Lord succumbed to none of these temptations. We might ask, well, why not? And when we ask the question, we ought to consider whether or not the answer provides us with reasons for resisting our own temptations. One reason was that the devil was not really offering anything. The devil had nothing, and he could deliver nothing. He offered to make no bread because he had none. His suggestion was that Jesus produce this bread by using his divine power to transform a stone. Had Jesus been foolish enough to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, the devil wasn't about to fly down and rescue him. Our blessed Lord would have to provide his own help, his own angels, if he wanted to land in safety. Some deal. And of course, the devil should no more give away the glory and riches of the world than you or I. One reason that the temptation was unsuccessful was that the devil offered nothing, and our Lord knew it. But let's suppose that the devil had something to offer. Suppose he had a loaf of bread in his backpack, or say a helicopter waiting on the roof of the temple to take our Lord down to safety. Or maybe he had gotten a good deal on a few of the kingdoms left by, who knows, Alexander the Great, maybe after he died. But even if we presuppose all of these things, it's clear that the devil would have failed to tempt Jesus Christ in the way the devil wanted to tempt him. All three of the temptations initially appealed to human pride. They were temptations to show off divine power, transforming rocks and summoning angels and so forth. But Jesus is the perfectly humble man. He knows that he can do all these things. He's God, and he knows he's God. But he has no need to put his abilities on display, nor does he want to. He doesn't want to impress onlookers. The need to boast of one's abilities is a sign of weakness and self-doubt. Those who boast are most often trying to convince themselves of their own adequacy. The devil failed for a third reason. In all cases, temptation to sin is successful only if the one being tempted can be misled into perceiving a good end to some action. It's called an apparent good. In reality, it produces something bad. Bread, the favor of angels, the wealth of the world are all good things in and of themselves. God's creation is all good, but it can be misused. Bread for food is necessary for life and was given by God. The psalm says, bringing bread out of the earth and wine to cheer the heart of man, thank God, making the face cheerful with oil, and that bread may strengthen man's heart. Without food, we would wither up and die. But we also know the plagues that excessive eating and drinking can bring. We eat too much, we get sick. We drink too much, we get drunk. If we sin with food and drink, it's because we fail to distinguish the evil of gluttony from the good of nutrition and conviviality. Likewise, wealth in itself is not an evil thing. The man who cannot put a roof over the heads of his wife and children, the family that must choose between having food on the table and medicine for a sick child, the children who go without shoes, not to mention education, are far more likely to despair and blame God for their condition than their counterparts who are able to provide such things for themselves through their own industry. Voluntary poverty may make Christians holy, but not burying one's children who want medicine, shelter, or food. Moderate wealth is thus a good thing and becomes evil only when pursued to the exclusion of other good things. When there is no time for God or family or friends, when no concern is given to the needs of the poor, or when wealth is gained by dishonest means. But why did the devil think that he could tempt even the Son of God? What could he have been thinking? Perhaps he was influenced by his own fall from grace. God created, we know, the angels, pure spirits, not subject to material limitations, powerful intellects, capable of piercing discernment and instantaneous communication of knowledge. Those angels who chose to do their own will and follow Satan became devils. They were no fools. Or maybe, looking at the big picture, they were the worst of fools. They had been created for eternal happiness with God, but they threw away that happiness in rebellion against him. Again, we have to ask why. Why would they follow Lucifer in a doomed rebellion? The answers are all the opposites of what our blessed Lord demonstrated in today's gospel. They're very much the same as the reasons why human beings, us, given to temptation and sin. So we can look at them carefully. Lucifer had nothing more real to offer the rebellious angels than he offered Christ in today's gospel. No bread, no glory, no kingdom. He offered nothing but illusion. And this is what he does to us. He offers us illusion. To be sure, we have to understand he has nothing real to offer us in exchange for our rebellion against God through sin, because every sin is an act of rebellion. Lucifer was successful in tempting the rebellious angels only because they lacked humility. Unlike our blessed Lord, who emptied himself, they were quite full of themselves. And they wanted to show off their abilities to gain the acclaim of their fellow angels. So they say, non serviam. I will not serve, because I am more beautiful, more glorious, more perfect than everything else in creation. I will not serve. And as Scripture says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mountain of the covenant in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I. But yet thou shalt be brought down into hell, into the depth of the pit. We have to understand that Christ-like humility is a sure defense against temptation to sin, and that pride is the vice of the devils. The devils fell because they were not realists. They knew that freedom was a good thing, so far as it goes, but they deceived themselves into thinking that freedom from God was a proper use of freedom. It's not. They failed to reflect on the reality that serving God is the highest form of freedom, the highest form of noble behavior that can ever be. When we're tempted, we have to be sure to understand that God has given us very many gifts, but he has given us also an intellect, a will, an intellect to know those gifts, and a will to put everything he gave to us into action. We must have Christ-like realism. My friends, our blessed Lord has given us the example of his temptation in the desert to strengthen us in the desert of life. The devil has nothing to give us. Only foolish pride is going to make us think that he does. So we should give thanks to God for all that he has given us, all those capacities of soul, intellect, will, memory, those capacities which we can use to resist temptation, to stay out of the occasions of sin, and to better serve him, to better do his will. He gives us especially his grace, and we wish to use this grace according to the purpose for which he gave it to us and gives it to us. If we do that, doesn't that make it better all around? I think it does. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.